Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com. Thank you very much for joining us again. And my guest this week, as he has been all season on the Podcast Extra, is Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
Dan, I am not bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad, thank you. A few weeks since we've last spoken. It's hard to believe the season's already 2 weeks in the rearview mirror.
Thank heavens it is, to be honest. I don't really want to remember it too much. It weren't exactly the prettiest season, was it? Or certainly wasn't the prettiest of endings.
I've not gone and pre-ordered the season highlights DVD, put it that
no,
way.
No, I'm pretty sure not many people would have done.
Yeah, a little bit of a damp squib to end the campaign. But as you say, it is over now. We know that Reading are finishing 17th. As we knew for quite a while, they weren't going to get relegated and they certainly weren't going to get promoted. All we're waiting for now is the news of the two playoff finals in League One and the Championship. And then we'll have our full 24 slate of teams. You are looking forward to any of the new games we've got on the horizon next season?
You've got to, really. I think Newcastle is going to be a great trip, isn't it, up there? Looks like Rafa is staying, which is a massive coup for them. And so, yeah, that'll be good. And when they come down here as well, I'm sure they'll bring sort of 4,000 and fill that end, and it'll be a really good atmosphere. Same with Villa. So a lot of big teams, and Norwich as well, you know, all three really well-supported teams. So I think they're going to be good trips. It's going to be an incredibly strong league. Again, I think it's going to be very, very difficult, as it is going forward each year, I think, with teams coming down from the Premier League with the new huge parachute payments and everything. It's going to make it so, so tough to get out of this division.
Yeah, and a nice little trip to Burton as well. That'll be a newish ground to tick off.
Yes, I'm not looking forward to Wigan, though. I hate that every single time.
It's always a long drive.
It's a long drive, and I always have traffic nightmares going to Wigan. It's just a big no-no for me, that one. So, yeah, not looking forward to that one.
But you will get to sample one of the football's hottest new chant if we get Wigan early in the season.
Yes, it's annoyingly catchy chant that's been stuck in my head for about 3 or 4 weeks.
I'm just waiting for Reading's fans to pick out the player they want to adapt the chant for.
Well, Accrington Stanley fans sang it for Tariq Fosu, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was their song.
Well, there you go. Well, we need something because the chant that got rated, the 10th best chant by The Telegraph, the Piers and Enola John song, has been torn up. Neither are at the club anymore.
No. No, indeed. I saw that go the 10th best chant. Very good.
Yeah, excellent work from the Reading fans on that one. I think it was Jamie Butler that came up with it. Kudos to you. Hopefully a few more creative ones next year, because we do need a few new chants just to keep things interesting, especially when the football on the pitch isn't the best. And I suppose, really, I mean, we'll wrap up the season very quickly, Charles. I mean, myself, Handbags Harris and Mark, we talked for 2 hours the other day on it, so don't want to spend too long going over what we've already said. Has been a pretty poor season. But overall, I mean, how would you sum up? Was this the most disappointing season for you since you started covering the club, or was this better, slightly better than last season? Where does it rank?
I think, I mean, last year, obviously, you had the trip to the semi-final. We were one off doing that again this year. So I think they were just both equally as disappointing. I thought, you know, it wasn't much fun. Both very similar, really. They mirrored each other, didn't they? It's really horrible sort of endings to the season. I remember under Clark, obviously, that year it ended, we just barely saw a goal at home for, well, basically the second half of the season, did we? That was pretty horrible. And this year's not been much better. I mean, it was just that those last sort of seven games, wasn't it? This one, it just taken all of us into the summer feeling really downbeat about how things are. And it was just a horrible ending, just 1 point from those games. And, you know, if they could have just finished with a few wins from those games, it would have finished, you know, far higher than 17th, and it would have given everyone a bit more of a lift going into the summer. But it wasn't to be. It was a thoroughly depressing end to the season, and it kind of sort of look around the mood right now on social media and things like that, and you can see that it's not the happiest club to be around at the moment.
The word underachievement has been thrown around quite a lot. You've seen this team now for most of the 46 games and the cut run and these players, some of these players, for 2-3 years now. How much do you think, if at all, Reading did underachieve, looking at the competition we had this season and looking at the performances? Did we finish much below where we should have done? Should this team have been thinking about, you know, battling in the playoffs? Or was this always a team, in hindsight, that was destined for a round mid-table?
I think it was a season of underachievement. I think you've got to say, look at the wages that are spent on the players. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're good players, but you look at the players that had available and the talent, which clearly is there in the squad. I think you have to say it was underachievement. But They just couldn't gel as a team. I think we obviously had the really good start, kind of masked by Nick Blackman scoring all those goals that helped get Redden up to second, and then the wheels fell off spectacularly at Craven Cottage, and they never recovered from it. So I think you've got to say it wasn't underachievement, but maybe we all got a little bit caught up in the start, myself included, in the start, and maybe started to think the team was slightly better than it was. But I think seven teams, you've got to look at it as an underachievement. I think at the start of the season, I think I predicted 10th or 11th. I can't remember what it was. And I think if they'd have finished there or thereabouts, that's what you would probably have expected. But 17th, I think yeah, you've got to label it as a bit of an underachievement.
Yeah, and it wouldn't take him very much to get up to 10. They say just turning just sort of three or four of those games that we lost into wins, and you're right up there. But yeah, I'll agree. It is a slight underachievement. I don't think this was a team that was worthy of the top six, looking at the teams that are in there. But they should have been giving it a bit more fight. But there is that argument to be made, though. As soon as the dream sort of realistically slips from view, then the points sort of matter less. And you could tell, just like the season before, really, that the players had mentally checked out, and a few of them knew they wouldn't be here next season, and that has panned out as the week's closed. We'll touch on a few of the transfer bits and pieces momentarily, but just finally to wrap up 15-16, Ali Alhabsi, player of the season, won the club's vote. Worthy winner for you?
No. No, I did well. We had a good second half season, but not my player of the season. Not Ollie Norwood was my player of the season. I think Abdi did all right. He made some good saves, but for me, I think Redden need to get a new first choice goalkeeper this summer.
I actually agree with you. I've seen both of us had similar thoughts. You can read our Redden season report cards on both getredden.co.uk and thetarlhurstend.com. You know, I gave Ali Alhabsi a C plus. I think did you give him a 6 out of 10? Or did you give him a 7?
I think I might have. He might have just about scrambled a 7 with his. He did have some good, you know, he did play well, I thought, second half of the season. Wouldn't that would be a disaster if they went into next season with him as number one, but I think they should look to improve on that.
But that's the thing, though. There's no guarantee that we don't see the Alhabsi from the first half of the season.
No, and you always get impression with him there's a mistake. I mean, even last game of the season, Blackburn's third goal, you know, he came for that corner, just got nowhere near it, and they scored third. And you just watch him, and he will make a few good saves, but you never trust that he's not going to make a clanger. I know every goalkeeper makes a clanger, but you just feel that there's more clangers in him than there are in some other keepers. And I think that's an area that, if going forward, if they really want to improve Redden, they need to have a solid base starting from the goalkeeping position. And there are improvements out there on Alhabsi. Like I said, it won't be a disaster if he's number one next season. He'll do a decent enough job, but I think there is scope for improvement.
Yeah, very much agree. You mentioned Ollie Norwood there as your man to that you'd pick to win player of the season. He has been linked with a move away from the Medeski Stadium, joining the likes of Simon Cox, Anton Ferdinand and Hal Robson-Cadu, who all released. Again, no real surprises there. But Ollie Norwood, Bournemouth in the frame, Burnley as well, I've heard mentioned in a couple of places. He has, you know, you carried quotes in the Get Running the other day. He's not exactly downplaying a move, is he?
Well, why would he? I mean, I'm sure he'd love to move to the Premier League if they want on offer, especially with all the money that's swilling around there from this season onwards, with the new TV deal. I'm sure if he can get a move there, then he'd love it. And it's what you do, isn't it? What footballers do. They want to play at the top level. So if there is talk about a move, then he's not going to, I wouldn't say, play it down. I mean, he didn't exactly, you know, he wasn't completely demanding a move or anything like that. He wasn't throwing his toys out of Prem. He just said he was flattered by Premier League interest. But right now he's a Reading player and he's going to focus on the Euros and see what happens after that, which is fair enough. But Bournemouth have been watching him, no doubt about that. I've seen the Burnley link mentioned. Obviously, he's a Burnley lad. All his family are up in Burnley, so that would be a really appealing move for him if it were to happen. They've lost Joey Barton now as well in midfield, so maybe that is going to be an option for him. I'm sure it's something that he'll probably be pushing for if it is. So, I mean, I'd be disappointed to see Ollie go, but you know, let's face it, he's probably not going to sign a new deal. He's out of contract at the end of next season. So if there is a few million pounds sort of floating around for a club looking for a midfielder and that gets offered to Reading, then I'm sure they'll end up biting their hands off.
Yeah, I was going to say, what would be a realistic fee for you? What do you think he's worth?
I think you'd look around 2 or 3 million probably. I mean, if Reading, if Nick Hammond was still here, I'm sure he'd probably hold out for about 4. But obviously Nick Hammond's not doing the dealing anymore, so we'll have to wait and see if Nigel Howe or whoever it is as good as getting every last penny out of a club as Hammond was. But yeah, I think you'd be looking at around a sort of £3 million deal. Obviously, if he has a really good Euros, then that price might spiral a little bit, so time will tell.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Who else do you think might be on the way out of the Medeski Stadium this summer?
I think, like Ollie, you've got to look at those players who are out of contract at the end of next season. Like Danny Williams, I'm sure if Reading can get rid of him, and then they will. I'm not saying they're going to completely shove him out the door, but he's on good money. You know, Reading are entering the final year of their parachute payments. They need to get the wage bill down before they come to an end. Danny Williams, I'd say, could well be the biggest earner at the club right now.
I'd imagine so. He was the last, the Zingarevich
contract. Yeah. And so... And also they could command a transfer fee for him now rather than losing on a free in the summer. And for Danny as well, he's always talked about wanting to sort of cement his team in the US, in the US side. And Klinsmann's already urged him to sort of get out of the Championship and try and get to either the Premier League or another top league in Europe. So I'm sure for both parties, if they can get something done this summer, then they will look to do that. So I do expect him to go. Sort of same with Gareth McCleary. Again, he's got a year left on his deal, and if Reading could get some money for him right now, then they may well do that. Obviously, he didn't actually play that much last season anyway because of injuries. So, some people, and when he has played, he hasn't been at his best. And I'm really
You say that, but you look at the stats. He's played over 30 games, and that shocked me.
He did play a few, didn't he? But he wasn't starting all of them, was he?
I just had it in my head like you that he'd been injured for so much. I thought when I came to see the
start,
end of the season,
wasn't it? It was a start he missed, and then he got another injury during the season. But he just never, he was never really showed his best, did he, last year? Even though he got five goals, I think it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm a really big McCleary fan if he's fit, and I think he's one of the top wingers in the Championship. But is he going to sign a new deal? Again, you probably think, given his age and if there are other clubs looking at him, he may well think he's got one last big move in him, and so Reading might well look to see if they can get something done with him as well, which is all well and good saying it, but they are three of the club's best players, aren't they? And it's whatever way you look at it, you're kind of going to be selling your best players, and is that a way to improve? Possibly not. It all depends on recruitment coming in then.
Yeah, any other rumours? Obviously, Jake Cooper, we heard towards the end of the season, was being linked to the move away. Jordan Abita as well, but those linked with Bournemouth. Any other whispers on that front?
Well, I think those ones, again, they're being watched. I think there's no doubt about that. Obviously, Bournemouth certainly looking at them. We heard all about Stoke and Cooper in the January transfer window. But I think in terms of how Reading feel about those, like they're not in as much of a rush. Obviously, they're not entering the final year of the deal. Unless something is really decent on the table, then I doubt they'll be so willing to offload them, because you don't want to absolutely start from afresh and get rid of the entire first team squad, do you? And players like Abita and Cooper are young, and I'm sure that if they could keep them, then they will. But if money talks, if someone comes in with a decent bid, then they'll be on their way as well. But I wouldn't say that they're guaranteed to go right now. If sitting here, I would be pretty confident that certainly Danny Williams won't be here at the start of next season, but I would say that Cooper and Abita probably will.
Yeah, and we can't forget as well that we've lost someone in the past couple of months, sort of a transfer under the radar, and this one will gut Reading fans everywhere, I'm sure, when they hear this man's name. Charles, I can't pronounce it, so you give the pronunciation.
I'm totally confused who you're talking about.
The Bosnian Messi.
Oh, the Bosnian Messi, Said Baran. Yes, yeah. He's gone 5 months after arriving to such fanfare.
How could you have not immediately known such a huge transfer that I was talking about?
He's headed to France. Obviously, Reading brought him in. He wasn't able to play after they signed him because of his... he didn't hold an EU passport, and the British sort of laws, so that work permit laws, are pretty stringent. And so the idea was to send him out on loan. They did that. He went out to Lens and impressed so much that Lens have now snapped him up. And
Lens or Lille? Is it Lille?
Lille, sorry. Yes, yeah. Not Lens. It was Lille. And they're impressed by him, and they've snapped him up, and Reading have agreed to sell him. So whether they just thought, you know, it's going to be sort of 3 or 4 years until he can get a work permit for this lad, is it really worth it? And they thought, well, no, let's just move him on now. So unfortunately, yes, we're not going to get to see the Bosnian Lionel playing at the Mastad anytime soon. You know he'll go on now and be an absolute superstar.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
No, nor would I.
But on the more positive note, we did confirm a signing. Now, this one probably equally in the realms of who, but a little bit more sort of first team, a player that could compete for a first team role. So fill us in on this one.
Yes, and at least we knew about it. This guy, obviously, he was over for trial. We did a couple of stories on it a while back. He came over for a trial, and looked pretty impressive by all accounts. I remember speaking to Brian McDermott in April about him, and he said, "We'll have to wait and see. It's one for the summer." And it's obviously impressed him so much that they've decided to sanction that deal now.
Yeah, Danzel
Gravenberch, Gravenbach.
Is that where we're going with it?
Not exactly sure how it's pronounced yet. But he's signed on a 3-year deal. Big unit of a guy. He's a defender. But I do remember when I spoke to Brian about him after his trial, he said while he was here, he spent a lot of time playing as a defensive midfielder. And I think that's where Brian thought he may well end up playing. So it'll be interesting to see during pre-season and at the start of next season where exactly he fits in and around the side. But I mean, absolute beast of a bloke. He actually started as a striker at Ajax and was linked with Liverpool and Man United as a striker coming through the youth ranks there, and but has managed to sort of head back to centre back now. So
yeah, been playing his stride in the Dutch second tier, which doesn't scream.
He's not been in the most illustrious of championships since his since sort of failing to make the grade at Ajax. He went out to Romania and then came back to Holland to play in the second division, and was a part of a defensive shipped 67 goals last season, I think, and finished fifth from bottom in that one. So you know, stats wise and looking at it like that, it doesn't look like the most exciting of signings, but you've got to trust Brian Teverden, really. He's the new technical director. Obviously, he's come in and has got a position of power at the Maastad now, and this one's certainly down to him. He worked with him at Ajax, and it was his recommendation that got him over here on trial. So you got to kind of trust that they know their players. Obviously, Brian had a good look at him during training. I'm sure other coaches did as well, and everyone's put their heads together and decided to push this one through. There is a little bit of a transfer fee, far from a big one, but it's not a free transfer. There is a bit of a minimal fee change in hands. So yeah, first sign in the summer, done.
Yeah, the nice positive thing is it is a younger player who looks like he's obviously got something still to prove. He's not cut his teeth, and we were talking on this show, you know, lots of times last season about the need for Reading to sign up and coming players rather than ones on the way down, and especially get players in on permanent deals. And this sort of fits the bill, really.
Yeah, it's exactly what they should be doing. It's the time now to kind of start afresh, get the younger lads in, build it around. Obviously, there are experienced pros here as well who can help with that. You've got Paul McShane, Jan Kermigan, Stephen Quinn, players like that who are, you know, experienced, but sort of blood the youngsters around him. A few of the lads from the academy, obviously signings like Gravenberch, hopefully we might see a few more coming from possibly the lower leagues in England. As well, and just give the place a whole new freshness. And like you say, maybe the players who have been here, done it and failed have moved on, and let's get some hungry new faces on board who are desperate to do well.
Yeah, and speaking of new faces around the place, I noticed the first part of a two-part from yourself about 10 players you'd like to see Reading sign in the summer. First five: John Torrell, Matty Taylor, Adam Federici, Bradley Dack and Kemar Roofe. Nice little blend there of experience and up-and-coming players.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, like I said, I want Reading to sign a new goalkeeper, and I'm a big Federici fan. I think if there is a chance of getting him back to the club, then they should take it. I mean, him and Brian McDermott got a very good relationship. It hasn't worked out for him at Bournemouth. He's not playing much. Whether that will change next season, I'm not sure, but I think they should be exploring that one. If there's a chance of getting him back here, they should do it. Obviously, Kemar Roofe and Bradley Dack, we've seen what they've done in the lower leagues this season. And I think, like we've just said, I think they're the sort of players that Reading need to try and get now. Whether they can afford them, even though they're in the lower leagues, obviously they've done very well this season. They're going to be very much in demand. And whether Reading are in a position to kind of win transfer races for players like that now, I'm not so sure, but they should certainly be in the hunt. They've certainly been watching them both for a fair while. So it'd be great to get one, someone like that. I mean, they need a striker, crying out for a lively front man, and Kemar Roofe, look at what he's done, the goals he scored this season. He's the exact sort of player that you kind of want Ren to get. John Terrell, I think, he was brilliant for Birmingham last year, sort of swept the board. Their player of the season awards, pretty much won everything, scored the winner against Reading actually on the opening day of the season. It's interesting to see what Arsenal do with him this year, whether they see if he can push on for going in the first team or look to sell or even send him out on loan again, which I don't think Reading fans really want to see too many loans, and Brian McDermott doesn't. But
might look to use that Arsenal link, though.
Yeah, indeed. And if you could get... And Terrell's someone that you could possibly look at a loan with option to buy, possibly, I think, because, you know, he's 21 now. He's not exactly 18 anymore. He hasn't even played a game for Arsenal yet, so he's got to come to a sort of a decision in terms of his future and his career, or what he wants to do and what Arsenal want to do with him. And it's got to be coming very, getting very close to getting to that point now where a decision has to be made. And I think there's going to be an awful lot of clubs looking at him after the season he had for Birmingham last season. And it's just what Reading need as well, that classy kind of link player, which maybe Kerbogan will be next season, we're not sure. But you know, Reading have been crying out for that sort of player, someone who can provide, sort of link up the midfield in the attack. And he's got great technique, scores goals, good in the air. He's a really, really good player. I was really impressed with him last season in the Championship.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all well and good just talking about these players and players we'd like to sign and see arrive at the club, but all that's going to depend on the Thai ownership.
Indeed.
We've been asking for them to sort of make more of a public comment. They sort of have. They haven't given us the long-awaited media interview we were hoping for, but what they have done is they did put out a statement. I've made my feelings on that statement very clear on the main edition of the show. I thought it was, well, limp. I thought it was, there was nothing to it at all. Do you feel any more positive having read it?
They showed really good knowledge of Accrington Stanley's playoff push in that, so I was very, very impressed with their knowledge of the lower leagues. It wasn't at all written by someone in some media department. Sure, it was definitely penned by the three of them.
Having listened to Sassima's song, it was certainly in her tonnage. So
it was definitely in their tonnage. Yes, it was not at all a whiff of a PR department written all over that. but I don't know. It's just I think I called it a nothing statement at the time, and I got a bit of grief from people by that saying, "Well, what do you expect them to say?" Well, you know, and to be fair, to talk into the club, if they're coming through a club website, they're not going to say much, are they? They're going to say exactly what they did. And there was nothing much to it. There was a couple of lines, obviously. The one of them was, I think, our commitment grows stronger, which does it. We'll wait and see with that one.
They certainly crowbarred in the Royal Elm Park reference, though.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure the commitment certainly grows stronger that. In terms of football, let's wait and see. And so, yeah, I mean, I'd love to sit down and talk with them every single week. I'm not even every single week, pretty much every single day of a week, I am requesting to speak to them or Nigel Howe. And every single week I'm getting, no, we're getting, we'll see. And nothing's happening. So at the moment, that's all we're going to get from them. And I'll keep trying, but whether they pop their head above the parapet and actually speak to us sort of independent media, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah,
there's certainly question marks hovering about them.
I was going to say there are lots of rumours flying around.
There are loads.
I'm sure you get the same. You get little tip offs and you see things on social media and from, you know, friends of friends and contacts and things like that. But obviously, without, you know, we can't just go around throwing out every rumour we've heard, but just from everything in all the sense from, you know, someone that's very close to the club like yourself, how sort of worried are you, or are you worried at all about the direction of the club at the moment?
It's a tough one because it's a lot of, it's tough to stand up a lot of the things up here and without talking to themselves and asking questions to them, it is tough because a lot of it is conjecture and a lot of it is speculation. But I know they say that their commitment grows stronger, and they said that in that statement, but I'm not convinced that they're finding it as easy as they thought it was going to be in terms of football and in terms of what funding is required in terms of football. And I think you look at the training ground at Bearwood, work seems to have ground to a halt there. The work that barely started, it seems to have pretty much ground to a halt there, and just things like that. I think, you know, I would love to get a chance to talk to them and ask them exactly where they stand and what their plans are for the future, but unfortunately it's not the case. But you know, I don't think the club are in any danger of suddenly spiraling back into the Anton Zingarevich days and the end of that. I think they're certainly, you know, they're keeping they're running a tight ship. They're not splashing cash wildly. I don't think we're going to see massive transfer fees spent this summer. But whether, if you ask me right now, if I think the Ties are going to be running the football side of things in 2 years' time, then I would never be able to say yes, definitely they are.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm not, again, like you, I'm not panicking and suddenly thinking we're going to be docked 15 points, put into administration, I think, anytime soon. But you know, you mentioned those parachute payments end at the end of next season, then that's going to leave the best part of a £7-8 million hole in the finances. And it's not like they've been able to massively increase the revenue around the place. And you wonder, and this is what we'll only really know in October when they first publish their accounts, how much of their own money they've put in, where the debt lies. And it's when we get answers to questions like that that we'll be able to feel a little bit either better or really sort of prepare ourselves for something worse. Because until we can see those figures and know what the debt is and things like that, then it's just a guessing game, really. And it's a bit of a horrible one, really.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't like to doubt them, because they're saying things in public and they all sound very nice, but
they're great. I mean, speaking to them over in Thailand and when they've been here, they come across really well. I was really impressed when I left Thailand. I was feeling really good about how things are behind the scenes, and they had good plans for it. But I just think that the money that is costing them, I think the delays, how long it's taking them to get planning permission for Royal Elm Park and things like that, to get that sort of thing up and running is hitting them. I think all three of them are very different people, with very different ideas at different sort of ages, the different age spectrum. You got that, you know, it's just they all live in different parts of Thailand or the world. Like Sassoon is over here a lot, the other guys live in different parts of Thailand. You know, getting everyone together at the same time is a mission. It's just not a great way to run a business or a football club, and everything takes forever to get signed off, and it's just not, you know, it's just not a great way to run a football club. And there's just an awful lot of uncertainty around Reading and around how things are being run and around how the future is going to pan out. And unfortunately, that's not something new. Ever since I think I'm a bit of a Jonah, because ever since I arrived, it's been like that with one owner to another.
What's out?
Yes,
what's out?
I think I've become a bit of a Jonah.
Although, you know, you have overseen, you know, our best FA Cup run ever since you were here. So, you know.
Yes, indeed.
Cup lucky charm. Except
indeed. Who did you lose to in that?
Don't know. Some team that bottled the Premier League this season, I think.
We didn't bottle the Premier League. We were beaten by a far better team.
Yeah.
Beaten by a far better team.
That was in the Championship 2 seasons ago, yeah.
I know, but they were a far better team and lost three games. Two of those home and away to Arsenal.
Yeah, well, there you go.
We did our job, others didn't do theirs.
Okay, well, there you go. What makes you sleep at night? you talk about the uncertainty around the sort of ownership situation. Have you got any sort of fears for Brian McDermott and his position going forward? Or do you think that he survived?
I did, but problems? I think obviously just the fact, like you're saying, we're sitting here now a few weeks later. But then, as I say, everything takes forever to get done with the ties and to come up with a decision. But I was very worried from a couple of weeks ago. I have to say, I thought he was going to go. Not in terms of anything I was told. I just thought that he was going to be very fortunate to survive that end of the season. It was just that poor. And performances were that bad. Results were that bad. A couple of ties had been over to watch games as well and watch defeats. And I just thought he was going to struggle to survive that. But he seems to have done, you know, we're 3 weeks down the line now. He's still there. I was having a conversation on Twitter today about, you know, obviously he was quoted in the Gravan Birch signing story. And someone was saying, you know, does that look like that's kind of put the rumours to bed that he's going to be here? I'm not sure if it does, to be honest, because I don't know how much of a part he had to play in that one. Obviously, like I said, Tevridin brought him over. I whether McDermott was here or not, I think that signing would have happened. So I think there are still a few question marks, but the longer we go into the summer, the more we think that it looks like they're gonna give him a chance to sort of do his own thing this summer and start the season next year.
Yeah, fingers crossed. My view on Brian's been well laid out on this show and others and on the website. I think it'd be very, very harsh to see him off after 6 months, even though it has been poor. We're running an approval rating up on thetirelessend.com. He's sitting at about 2.5 out of 5, and bearing in mind you can't vote for a zero, I think it's putting his rating at about 40%, which I think is fair. I think he's not been terrible, but it's been the wrong side of average, I think, and he knows that as well. He didn't exactly sugarcoat it, did he?
No, it's just like I said, it's just going into the summer on the back of that run of defeats. You know, it was just such a horrible, depressing end to the season. If just a couple of wins dotted in those ones would have just changed everything, sort of changed the mood around the place. But it was such a, everyone went into the summer at such a low ebb after that sort of run of results that I did fear for him. I just thought it, and he feared for himself. I mean, I said to him after the Blackburn game, I said, you know, you go into these meetings with the owners now on the back of 6 defeats from 7. Do you think you're going to, do you honestly fear you're going to lose your job? And he said himself, he said, well, it doesn't help, does it? And he was right. It didn't, because it led to an all, it would, would have led to an awkward conversation, wouldn't it? You're not going into those sort of talks in a good position on the back of a run of results like that. But like I said, he's gone, we're nearly a month now since the end of the season, certainly 3 weeks, and he's still in the job. So you've got to think that the longer that goes, certainly if he survives the next 7 days or so, that he's got to be the man that they're going to start the season with.
Yeah, you would have thought that they would have, if they were going to make a change, they would have made it swiftly and gone straight on to getting a new bloke in. And with one man that is leaving, or does seem to be leaving the Bernesi Stadium from the coaching staff, Chris Davis, the first team coach, looks like he's off to join Brendan Rodgers, who's landed on his feet at Celtic. How big a blow will this be for Brian? Because I've got to admit, I don't really know what Chris Davis has done since in the 5 months he's been here.
Nor do I. Nor do I, really. I've never even spoke to him.
We couldn't find a picture of him to use on the website.
Like I said, Brian brought him in. It'll be a blow to him just because Brian brought him in, obviously. And it's just another change, isn't it? I think in the time he's been here, he's lost his assistant manager in the space of 3 weeks. Then he brought in Chris Davis to replace him. He's going to have lost him now. And also in that time, he's lost his staunch ally in Nick Hammond, director of football. So it's not been a great 6 months, is it, in terms of that regard for McDermott, as well as on the pitch. Whether it's a huge blow, I mean, I'm sure you can replace him, can't you? There's plenty of coaches out there. I certainly wouldn't say it's going to kill Reading's chances of having a successful season next season, losing Chris Davis. But I think in terms of Brian, I'm pretty sure he's going to be disappointed with it, and he'll probably be disappointed with him as well. Just the fact that he's brought him in, he's brought him to the club, and he's deciding to move on so soon. But
yeah, I'm sure Brendan quite enjoys getting one over Brian.
Yeah.
But, I suppose it is a tough move to turn down, going up to Celtic. And Lincoln, as I said, he was mentored by Brendan, as a player and as a coach as well. So you can see why he's going to make the move. But yeah,
he's disappointed. Follow him around, doesn't he? I think it sounds like, from what they're talking up there, he's going to be more of an analyst up there.
Well, that's what he was.
So it's a different sort of role. But
yeah, well, that's what he did at Liverpool and Swansea. Apparently, he was a set piece guru. So I immediately was looking out for any noticeable improvement in Reading set pieces. And the fact we only scored one goal from a corner all season didn't exactly point to it.
No, it didn't. So yeah, no, I know it's not going to be a massive loss, is it? I just think Dermot's going to see it as a bit disappointing. I think from what I understand, that it's literally done. It could even be announced today, I think. So it was just the last little things of compensation and stuff were being sorted, but he's certainly not going to be in the master next season.
At least it's a nice little earner, a few quid.
Yeah, they'll get some sort of money, some sort of bit of money for him. What that is, I have no idea, but there will be some sort of compensation package sorted.
Yeah, might be able to afford some new TVs on the outside of the Bedeski to replace the ones that mysteriously disappeared last season. All the TVs from around the stadium just disappeared. It's almost as if they wanted people inside the concourse spending money. I don't know. Conspiracy theories abound. So that covers the coaching side of things and Brian's future, the ownership and transfers and things. So all in all, I mean, what should we be looking out for now this summer? What have we got to look forward to over the next couple of months before we're back in August for a shiny new championship campaign?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot happening. Whether it's something to look forward to, I don't know. I think there is going to be an awful lot happening. I mean, there's certainly going to be players heading out. There's certainly going to be players coming in. So I think it's going to be a very different looking football club by the time the season starts to the one that ended it last year. So yeah, I think it's going to keep us entertained and busy what happens in the summer. But whether it's going to end up being a good thing, I honestly have no idea. I think it's just so much uncertainty in my mind about how everything's going to pan out in the next few months and in the next couple of years. So, like I said, I don't know if I can look forward to it or not, but I think it's certainly going to keep me busy.
Yeah. Are you expecting much done before the European Championships, or do you think that's going to delay everything until sort of the middle of July?
Yeah, I doubt there'll be too much time. Famous last words, there'll probably be loads done now, but you tend to get it, don't you, when there's an international tournament going on, that things seem to happen slowly after that. And so I wouldn't expect too much to be done. I mean, it's slightly different in the Championship than in the Premier League, but I'd expect things will really start to kick off once everyone's home from France.
And it's the food chain effect, isn't it, really? You've got to wait for the big teams to do their business, so then they know who's expendable, so the little fish can feed on that, and
exactly.
It goes down and down and down the chain, so
at least there's football to keep us entertained this summer as well.
I was going to say, you're looking forward to the Euros?
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great tournament. Obviously, we've got plenty of Reading interest. there, which is going to be good. And being able to, actually being able to sort of report on football matters during the summer, as well as sort of off-field matters. So it'll be good to keep an eye on Chris Gunter and Ollie Norwood. And there's plenty of sort of former Reading players involved as well, which will be good. And yeah, I'm quite excited to see how England get on.
What's your prediction for England?
I always get caught up in this whole thing. I hate myself for it as well. I always go into the tournament thinking I'm not going to put any expectation on it, but then I get swept up in the whole thing and start thinking we're going to win it. But I am quite excited about seeing how this lot get on. I think we're gonna have to score plenty of goals, put it that way, because we're not gonna be keeping many clean sheets. So I think at least we could have a bit of excitement watching the games. But anything, sort of get to the quarterfinals, that you got to think that's decent enough, and then try and sneak our way into the semis, and who knows. But yeah,
no, I think you're getting caught up with it, Charles.
Quarterfinals, you've got to look at it and think we've got a decent chance of making the quarterfinals, because we will score goals. Even if we play rubbish, we should score a couple of goals.
It'll take an awful team not to make the last 16 anyway, the way they've restructured it. That's my one downside. I'm thinking it's a lot of the tension's going to be gone, but it should be an interesting tournament anyway. You mentioned predictions, unfortunately. Didn't win the prediction league yet.
That's because I was positive. Trying to be all positive in that awful run and kept thinking, predicting Reading wins, and I should have just been sensible and just accepted they were going to lose. But I was trying to be all positive, and it cost me.
Yeah, Johnny's McDermott-based negativity has let him sneak in and win the title. So better luck next season.
I know. I did do an Arsenal in that.
You did.
I completely threw it away.
But let's end on the positive note. And there was a hero at the Medeski Stadium yesterday. Much like Reading, it was a hero that didn't get any sort of result from the game. But there was personal glory on the Medeski Stadium turf. Talk us through your goal, Charles.
It's a great goal, wasn't it? I'm hoping that I've been on the phone at Reading constantly since then to try and get a video, because it was on the BBC, but unfortunately my shot was so powerful they couldn't keep track of it. And it was in the net before they could move the camera. But I'm hoping Reading have got better footage of it. It was sort of cutting in on the right hand side, slipped through, defender made a bit of a mistake and let me through, and I pounced like every good striker did, ran into the box, took a perfect first touch and unleashed a thunderous strike from about 16 yards into the top corner to make it 1-1 at the time. And unfortunately I had to scoot off about 5 minutes later for parenting duties, and I could only play for the first 60 minutes and had to leave. And at that point we'd just gone 2-1 down, and because they scored pretty much straight after I equalised, they went back in front, and then ended up actually losing 5-2. I thought we'd lost 3-1, but I got into the office the next day and found out it was actually 5-2. So
yeah, it was a Reading staff 11 against a Reading-based media 11.
I know, it's the second time we've lost to them in a row. We lost the last time we played it. I scored that game. I've had in my mad stad career, I've had 5 shots and scored 4 goals. That is not a bad strike rate. I'm telling you, Reading should be waving a contract in my face right now.
You know, maybe you need some Tyler Stend infusion of talent for next season. You know, we're waiting for the call-up. We've got some eager footballers. I'd like to say I would be, but I'm the stereotypical useless goalkeeper. So I'm probably auditioning for the first team. give us the call. We'll see if we can. Or perhaps we should make it a try tournament. See if you can win that battle. But congratulations on your goal anyway.
Thank you very much.
Done very well. Done very well. And
hopefully, like I said, you keep your eyes peeled to Reading and you'll see it in all its glory fairly soon.
Maybe. Do you want to single out anyone who let the side down? 11.
I thought everyone did a fairly alright job. They were better than us, and they always are, because they got coaches and people like that playing, so they're always better than us. But I thought we held out pretty well, and like I said, at the time of leaving at 60 minutes, it was still very much up in the air. But I think the loss of losing the star striker.
Yeah, there was that. How did Mr. Fordham get on, making a sneaky cameo?
He played alongside me in the first half, but dropped back into a more defensive role as at half time, and so I didn't see him much after.
His
after
year
that.
Of covering rugby hasn't made him.
There was one point though when he was an awful back pass played him in, and yet he got slightly confused. The fact there was a back pass and he thought he was offside, so he didn't actually want to touch it, even though he was completely onside because it came from their player, and the chance quickly vanished. So I think he's been concentrating a little bit too much on rugby recently and forgotten the offside rules.
Well, there you go. Okay, well, we'll end it on a completely pie in the sky note. I did ask our guests Mark and Dave on the main show last week to give a completely early stab in the dark prediction at where Reading will finish next season. Completely uninformed guess. I said I went for an optimistic playoff run. I think the other two went for mid-table or lower. What's your complete pie in the sky guesstimate?
Stay up. Stay up.
Comfortably 15th, or
14th? 14th. No, something like that. I think
that'd be your highest league place for 3 years.
I think that's what they've got to do again next season. I'd be stunned if they got anywhere near a promotion assault next year. I think it's very much a case of time. There's got to be a bit of a sort of 3 year plan type thing now. I think it's very much out with the old, in with the new, and kind of start fresh. And there's so many strong teams, so many cash rich teams going to be in this league next year and the years after that, that I think the only way Reading are going to get themselves back promoted anytime soon is by starting something and trying to build something now. We might have to wait a few years to see it to come to fruition. So yeah, for me, next year is all about beginning that process and staying in division.
Yeah, well, as long as
exciting as that sounds.
Well, as long as they're taking steps forward, I think we'll all be happy. It doesn't matter. They don't have to take giant leaps forward. They just have to start moving and get in the right direction and halt this 4 year slump, and we can build from there. But Charles, thank you very much indeed for joining me throughout the season. So hopefully we'll catch up again, I'm sure, at some point later this summer, especially if there's a flurry of transfer news, or
yes,
if there is a managerial or ownership change even, we'll get back together. But in the meantime, enjoy your summer. So enjoy the Euros.
Yes, you too, Dan. I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, indeed. And you can check out getreading.co.uk throughout the summer for all the latest from Charles, and follow him on Twitter at Charles_Watts. We're at the Tarlhurst End and thetarlhurstend.co.uk. We're not going anywhere, even if the podcast is going on a little bit of a hiatus. So as I said, Charles, have a cracking summer, and I'll speak to you again just before the start of next season.
Yeah, speak to you soon, mate. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.